Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Rams, no playoff baseball.
Missouri, bye week.
He did say Pennsylvania last night with the same cadence, and it made me laugh.
China, Pennsylvania.
And it's great.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is, wow, Plowhawk with an abrupt fading of Billy Gilman. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the road today at Ryan Kelly's World Headquarters. Blues coach Ken Hitchcock with us at 8:30. Maybe he'll give us a Jake Allen update at 8:30.
Yeah, I'm not counting on that.
Jeremy Rutherford just tweeted out that he is expected to address it this morning, so maybe he's going to address it on the show of record. Brian Curtis of The Ringer, editor-at-large, will be with us at 9 o'clock on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. But right now, it is our absolute pleasure to welcome to the Ryan Kelly Morning After the star of last night's presidential debate at Washington University, Kenneth Bone. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. And just to clear it up, I actually think that the sweater was the star, and I just was wearing it.
No doubt about that. How did that selection process go? You know, you're going to ask a question. I don't know if you were made aware that you would be called upon to ask it, but as you're picking out your wardrobe, are you thinking, I'm going to go with something snazzy?
Well, as far as how they pick who's going to get to ask a question, there were 40 of us who had responded to the Gallup poll as uncommitted voters who were invited to be part of the town hall. Every one of us had two questions for the candidates, and the producers and the moderators, Anderson Cooper and Martha Raddatz, were the only ones that had access to those. And they went through and selected which questions they wanted us to ask. And when they called on me, then it was, you know, just my turn. And as far as the sweater, that was actually the backup plan. I had this really lovely olive suit that I was going to wear, and I split the seat of my pants as I was getting into my car to leave for the debate.
What? So, are you being serious, Ken Bone?
Sweater was, I swear to you, sweater was plan B.
How'd you split it? Were you squatting or something?
No, I'm just fat.
Oh. My word.
A happy consequence of eating like an athlete and not training like one.
Well, and where are you from? You from St. Louis?
I'm from Granite City, right across the river.
Oh, all right.
Were you a Granite City Warrior? Is that what they were, Doug? Mm-hmm. The Warriors?
Yeah, absolutely.
Class of 94.
2000.
Wow.
Yeah, and so you win it.
Because I'm bald and heavy.
Well, you didn't look that old. So you went in as an undecided voter, and what are your thoughts now after watching that debate?
Well, I'm going to reserve my final judgment until after the last debate, which is 8 days from now. But I thought Secretary Clinton was very impressive with some of her answers. She seemed very well put together. Both of the candidates were extremely nice when I got to meet them afterwards. So in a cycle like this, I think we just need to wait and make sure there aren't any major blow-ups unless you've already made up your mind.
Hmm. Now, what about this attention you're getting? So many people were talking about you on Twitter and on social media. What has the reaction been like for you as you try to sift through all the Facebook friend requests?
I'm going to say bizarre. We weren't allowed to have our phones with us at the venue yesterday. When I got back to my car and turned it on, I had 423 Facebook friend requests. And I just went ahead and accepted them all, and it made me feel good about myself for a minute. I'm sure everything will be back to normal tomorrow when we have something else to talk about. But I'm just really glad that people are being engaged in the political process, even if it is via my ridiculous Twitter profile.
Do you see that there's a Ken Bone Halloween costume now available?
There is. I'm going as myself for Halloween. It'll be the best costume ever.
Now, you said you got to meet the candidates afterwards. What did you talk about? I'm sure it was just for a few moments, but what did they say?
I talked to Secretary Clinton just for a few seconds. She didn't have a lot of time to elaborate on her energy policy. She had to get away very quickly, so I just shook hands with her and thanked her for her time. Mr. Trump, we just kind of shook hands and took a picture, and he moved on. I was able to talk to Donald Jr. He elaborated on energy policy, and then I got to talk to President Bill Clinton for a minute or two, and he had a lot to say about energy policy and coal power. So it was a really great experience.
Did you get the sense that the crowd was for one of the candidates, or was it pretty well balanced?
From where I was sitting, the outburst seemed pretty equal between the two until Anderson Cooper kind of shut that down. Everyone was supposed to remain quiet, but in an environment like that with some of the responses we got, I'm sure it was pretty difficult.
You say you're undecided, but living in Illinois, I suppose it doesn't really matter. The state is so Democratic that Hillary will carry that state, don't you think?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think there's no chance that Trump can win Illinois, which is not to say that you shouldn't go out and vote. Absolutely go out and have your voice heard. Southern Illinois kind of gets lost to the Chicago shuffle, and I think it's important that you get out and voice your dissent, if that's what you choose to do, just to make sure that we're represented.
Ken Bone, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You are listening to the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM. And InsideSTL.com. Ken, our guest on the appliance discounter phone line. So, Ken, if you don't mind me asking, give me an idea of what your day was like yesterday, because one of our listeners who is familiar with yesterday's debate process contacted me and said it actually started around 9 a.m., and therefore, you doing the math, you were there for a good 13, 14 hours at Washington University. So if you could, give us an idea of how your day played out yesterday.
That's absolutely right. We arrived, the latest you could check in was at 8:45. So most of us were there at about 8 o'clock, and no electronic devices, because we were basically sequestered like a jury. They didn't want any media influence, because like I said, the moderators were the only people who were allowed to see the questions. They didn't get access to them or the parties. So I got a chance to get to know a lot of great people. I felt like I was the smart guy in the room when I went and sat down, and then found that the people sitting at my table were an anesthesiologist and a neurosurgeon and a lady with a master's in accounting, and then all of a sudden I just kind of felt dumb. But at least I got a chance to be on TV with a sweater.
Yeah, when your name is called, weren't you nervous knowing that you're being watched by maybe 50, 70, 100 million people?
Well, I tried to just envision it as only the people in the room. There were maybe 200 people there, so that's nothing that you can't really deal with. I've never had a problem with public speaking, so I just I basically tried to play it as if I was talking directly to Secretary Clinton, who got to ask my question first and tune everybody else out.
Has anyone talked to you or contacted you about trying to cash in on the sudden found fame where you could benefit financially yet?
Not yet, but if you know any sleazy...
Okay, let me be the first.
Absolutely.
Here's my idea. We call it boneware. I say we. I can help you get this thing going, and I'll only take 70-80%. And then we market... red sweaters, red pullovers, zip tops. We'll call it boneware. Are you interested?
You bet. It's going to be tough because right now this Izod pullover cable knit sweater is sold out on Amazon, presumably for the
really
ridiculousness.
Well, it seems like you're having fun with this, right? You're sort of embracing...
How can you not? The two options I had were to throw my phone into the bathtub and try to kill it, or to embrace it and have fun. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, so I'm just trying to get the message out there to keep everybody involved in the political process. It's the most important election of our time.
You're a better person than we are, I tell you that much, because you're really serious about that, where trying to have you know, a little fun with it. You're serious about keeping people involved.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm having a great time. I'm having a lot of fun with it, the back and forth with people on Twitter and making with the jokes. But I just really want the underlying message to be that going in, I always assumed that these town hall debates were you go in and they hand you a card and tell you a question to ask. And that's not how it was at all. It really was the voice of the people. And that kind of made me feel a little better about the process. I just want to let people know that their voice can be heard.
Ken Bone, our guest right now on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You're listening to the all-new 590 The Fan KF. And I say, Ken, there is a Vine video of the end of the debate and you kind of breaking off from the crowd and taking a picture. What were you taking a picture of and what were you taking a picture with? Because some people were thinking that the camera was actually one of those old-school disposable cameras.
It was. Since we weren't allowed to have any electronic devices, the Presidential Debate Commission gave us all disposable cameras to use after the debate was over. So, yeah, I got a picture sitting at the moderator's desk. I'm kind of like an AV engineering nerd. I love the inside baseball, behind-the-scenes stuff. And so I took quite a few pictures of the producer and the jib camera and that kind of thing. And not many other people were doing that. They were all trying to go take pictures of Ivanka Trump.
Did you get to meet her at all?
I shook hands with her briefly. She seemed, you know, perfectly nice. It's not like we got to sit down and get to know each other. But, yeah, mm-hmm. And everyone could not have been any nicer than they were. Anderson Cooper, I'm convinced now, is the best person in media. He was the nicest guy ever.
You haven't met us. I wouldn't call us media. The way that the debate got off, you know, to such a tense start. I mean, I watching it on television, it was uncomfortable. What was it like for you sitting there witnessing the early moments of those debates, where of that debate last night, where really you had no idea where it was going to go?
Well, it kind of felt like before my mom and dad got divorced, where I just sat there and was quiet and waited for it to blow over. Unfortunately, it never really did. So it was a lot like just listening to mom and dad fight and trying to be quiet and not calling attention to yourself.
Hmm. Are you a single man yourself, Ken?
No, I'm married to a wife that I completely don't deserve for the last 12 years, and we have a son who will be a teenager very shortly. You know, live in a typical middle-class cookie-cutter house in Belleville. So it's just a slice of middle America, I guess.
And what do they think of your newfound fame?
Well, my son wasn't going to watch the debate until he learned that he could do it on the Internet. And now that I'm Internet famous, that's the best kind of famous as far as a 12-year-old is concerned.
Oh, sure. Why don't you run for office? You should run for office. Have you thought about that?
I'm not old enough to run for president. I was thinking of maybe chairman of my homeowners association, but it seems like a big pain.
Yeah, that's a good start, though.
Have you been receiving a number of interview requests over the last 12, 14 hours?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Right now I'm slated to be on CNN Newsroom in about an hour. Then this evening I'll be on Anderson Cooper and then Jimmy Kimmel, and we'll see what we have in between that.
Jimmy Kimmel?
You're going to be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight?
Well, the sweater is. I don't. They might black out my face. It is, it's national TV.
Are they flying you out there, or just going to do an interview here in St. Louis?
It'll be a remote. They're thinking right now via a webcam. I'm going over to Washington University for a live remote with the TV cameras for CNN.
Yeah,
nice.
Wow. That's fantastic.
So you're on CNN. Let me get this straight here. You're on CNN and you're on Jimmy Kimmel today?
Yeah, unless I get bumped for someone who actually has something to say.
You have a lot to say. You have a positive message about you. I think it's great that you're having so much fun.
I was as cynical as anybody going in, but not necessarily the candidates, but the process gave me a lot of hope about the political process. So I'm hoping maybe in the next election cycle, when we have two people who don't want to yell and talk over each other, it'll be even better.
Who did you vote for the previous couple presidential elections, if you don't mind me asking, sir?
I voted for McCain two cycles ago, and I was not able to vote last cycle, but I probably would have voted for Obama.
Okay. So that's right down the middle. Why weren't you able to vote for in the last cycle?
Because of work commitments.
Okay.
Working in the power industry, there's no such thing as holidays, weekends, that kind of thing. Lights have to stay on.
Yeah. It's like the media. It's like the jobs we have. So that's why you asked the question about the coal industry or energy in general, because you work in that business.
Yeah, I help run a coal power plant, and we do our best to be environmentally responsible. But a lot of our compatriots in the older plants are being forced out of business by the EPA, and I just wanted to know if there was a plan in place to help them transition to new jobs.
You think there is, or is coal in real trouble?
Coal is in trouble right now. It's ready to make a comeback, depending on how we can get the permitting and regulations done. Newer coal plants like mine are very clean burning. We leave the environment in excellent shape. But older plants do have a lot of challenges to overcome, so we'd like to see either subsidies or other economic incentives for them to be able to put in the kind of sophisticated environmental equipment that we have.
But all that is very expensive, no doubt.
At my plant, it cost about $2
billion. $2
billion? Yes.
Holy smokes.
About one-third of our construction and operating budget is all environmental controls.
And what do you do at that power plant exactly?
I'm a control room operator. I mostly, that means I sit on the internet and wait for something bad to happen, and then I have to fix it.
Like in the movie China Syndrome.
Yeah, only nothing, nobody dies.
Right. Hopefully. Yeah.
Ken Bone, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Ken, there was an exchange. The cameras also caught an exchange between you and, it looked like, President Clinton. Is that correct? You guys had a chance to talk?
Towards the end, I did get to shake hands with President Clinton, and he talked about, he knew a lot about the coal industry, and he seemed very passionate about helping coal transition into the next phase of energy. But like often happens with him and other politicians, his security team had to sweep him along. After about a minute or so, he couldn't talk for much longer. But he was really passionate and seemed like a great guy. I never did get to vote for him because I wasn't old enough. But based on what I saw last night, maybe I would have.
All right, Ken. Well, it sounds like you're enjoying your moment in the spotlight, and we appreciate you talking with us.
And don't be a stranger. Listen to our show, even though it's not very good.
Well, I absolutely listen to your show when I'm on the way to work, and if we could just bump it back about 4 hours so I could listen to it on my days off when I'm sleeping in, that'd be even better.
Well, you're supposed to podcast like the Dickens.
Well, there you go. It is the internet age, as I'm finding out the last couple of days. I'll give that a shot.
So you are a listener to this show?
Yes, I am. Jim Hayes,
wow.
I'm a big fan.
Jim Hayes, I'm a big fan. Jim Hayes, I'm a big fan.
I knew you were a great American, Ken.
No. How come you're not? I immediately. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
To single you out, Jim, but, it's not fair. I'm not your dad, so I can pick a favorite.
No, God bless you. You came across as rational and well-centered, and I would expect that I would be your favorite based on that. And if I had a bell, I'd ring it.
Thanks, Jim.
So I immediately looked when you popped up on the screen to see if you were a member of the fan page. Now that you're mutual friends with so many members of the fan page, would you care to join the TMA fan page on Facebook?
Sure, absolutely.
Yes, Doug. Now that means you can come in.
All of your listeners should do the same, too.
Wow.
It's vile in there. It's vile.
I feel better about the show. I feel like we just got confirmation that normal people can listen to us.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and abnormal people. I mean, if you're wanting normal people to listen to you, you're talking to the wrong guy. But I'll do the best I can.
You seem perfectly normal. You seem more normal than we are, that's for sure.
He's a Jim Hayes.
I do my best.
He's got a screw loose.
Right down the middle. Beautiful.
Hey, Ken, do you have a Twitter handle? We're getting a bunch of tweets and texts from people asking if you're on Twitter.
Yeah, I am at KenBone18. I think right now I have 7 followers. Two
I have
of
a feeling I'm about to change that for you.
I'm following you.
Yeah. So anybody who wants to follow me can see the 2 or 3 tweets I put out every year and hopefully get some enjoyment out of them.
Now, what was the Twitter handle again so I make sure I get it right?
I'm at KenBone18, the number 18. 18 for the great Mike Shannon.
18 for the great sure. Mike Shannon. How about that? And you have about 7 followers?
Yeah, and 2 of them are my grandmother. She forgot her password and had to make a new account.
I'll be darned.
So that's really you. Okay.
It
the
is.
The one that's all right, because you never know when these things, you know, when someone catches and gets some sort of fame, then there's a million Twitter accounts for them.
Oh, yeah, I have several fake Twitter accounts that are all more famous and better than mine, so maybe you should follow them.
Would you be willing to be our political insider between now and the end of the election? Because not only do you have a great sense of humor, but you actually do seem quite knowledgeable on the issues, and you're clearly not biased. You're still not sure who you're going to vote for. You did vote for McCain in 08, and we're going to vote for Barack Obama in 2012. So I think you would represent – you know what he is, the cat? He represents the best of us.
He does.
Oh,
forget
you know, I'd
the sweater,
be happy
it's
to.
You.
I don't know. I won't be very inside. I just watch the news like everybody else.
Look,
but,
anytime we
need the opinion of the fat kid from Southern Illinois, I'd be happy to give it to you.
Here's the thing. We pretend like we're insiders all the time, all right? So just pretend like you are, and it'll fit in with the show perfectly.
And, Ken, you're up to 175 Twitter followers at the moment.
Yeah,
well, that is fantastic. I don't know where the bonus money kicks in, but hopefully I'm close.
Ken Bone with us. Well, you're off to Wash U to do a live hit on CNN, and then you're going to be on Jimmy Kimmel this evening. You couldn't be handling this any better, and we are looking forward to continuing to talk to you. Congratulations on the newfound fame and also the way you're handling it, man. Super cool. Thanks for being a listener to the show, and thanks for jumping on with us this morning on short notice, Ken.
You bet. Anytime.
Thank you.
Thanks.
There he is.
All right,
the great
you.
Ken Bone. If he wasn't popular already, that interview, which I was live tweeting, and it was getting retweeted and retweeted and retweeted by news producers and huge websites all over the country. And now I think the way that people hear him talk, they're going to love him even more.
He's the breakout political star of this
really
election
is.
Cycle.
We did get something good out of last night. Ken Bone.
The truth is, you think, all right, it's the sweater, but the guy is better than the sweater.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't invent this guy. And he seems fair and thoughtful and nice, right? I mean, I wasn't expecting a guy with a sense of humor and a good sense of who he is.
No, well, he's a
good guy.
Working American. Granite City, now in Belleville.
Okay, so what we learned from the debate last night is that the head of the political sphere, the top candidate, are the worst of us, and the guy who asked the question in the red sweater is the best of us.
Mm-hmm. There are normal Americans out there caught up in this war of words between the two.
Awesome.
I just wish he could have asked more questions now. Maybe he should have been the moderator.
Yeah. Should have been one of the candidates.
Well, he's not old enough.
And rules are meant to
clearly,
be broken.
Clearly, that's the case.
I don't know if you're following this stuff, Doug.
Ken Bone is up to 456 Twitter followers.
And he started with how many? Seven followers?
Yeah.
475 now, Tim.
This is quicker than what we did for the Plowboy. In the Peoria Plowboy Twitter account. Holy moly. And he's going to join the fan page, Doug. Now that means you and Ken Bone in one day?
No, I can't. What? I can't. It's too vile.
You know what is hilarious, though? You think about it. No one wanted to really come right out and say, hey, have you ever listened to our show? Because chances are we're going to look bad and be disappointed and maybe embarrassed by the answer.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he did.
Well, he said something that indicated he listened. That's why I asked. Otherwise, I would have never asked. He sounded way too intelligent to be a listener.
I think he was just being nice, not to try to embarrass us.
No, he said the cat said, he said, Jim Hayes, you're my favorite.
I know, but he could have been fed that.
By whom?
Plowboy.
By the Clinton machine.
Because you are now Hillary Hayes.
Right.
We really have come full circle, and you're being accused of being left wing. He's at 600 followers now.
He got 150 in the last 20 seconds?
Yep.
Doug, that's why I'm saying this show has reach. I didn't want to admit it for many years, okay? I try to hide it away as a dirty little secret. But this show has reached, Doug. I know because I travel, and I see people that don't live in St. Louis that listen. That's why I'm saying if there's a fight, we can expect 3,000 folks there.
I went to Ken's Twitter page, which, let's see how many followers he is up to now, 628. His last tweet was, he quote retweeted Tanya Chen. Doug, do you know Tanya Chen?
I don't.
Chen tweeted it just out to not to Ken Bone in particular, because up until a few seconds ago, nobody knew his Twitter handle outside of two of his grandmothers. Ken Bone probably has a hot wife, and Ken Bone quote retweeted it and said, yeah, he does.
He's great, right?
And that Tanya Chen is an editor of BuzzFeed, so I thought that was a
good tweet. Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Chenzi? Chenzi's with BuzzFeed now?
I believe so. Then there's a video of Bill Clinton walking. Bill Clinton went out of his way to walk up to Ken Bone. And then he pulls him aside. I'm watching the Vine. He pulls him aside and does. It looks like he wants to get into talking about the coal industry. Clinton's just gangster engaging. Whether you like him or dislike him, that's probably one of the reasons
Slick
why
willing.
He was able to ascend. Yeah. But yeah, he pulls him aside just like you would like. Oh, it's so. Tweeted as game recognized game.
Nice.
I watch this game recognized game. Hoes do too. It's okay. The new Two Live Crew. I suppose you knew.
All right, stop that. Would you have thought it would take $2 billion to build a coal plant to EPA?
We were thinking about building a coal plant, but we're going to focus on new studios in Kirkwood.
Well, a coal plant might make more money if you
not
got
over
the
last couple
got
years.
The $2 billion.
Maybe we host this fight at a coal plant and save the coal plant with the amount of money we raise.
Where is Iggy? Is Iggy available? I know Ken Hitchcock's going to join us. A big Ken 8 o'clock hour. Iggy, are you nigh?
Yeah, buddy, I'm calling.
Hey, Iggy.
Okay, I know that you are the wizard of getting audio to the monster media outlets. But I think some of the segments from the Ken Bone interview, specifically him acknowledging that the reason why he was wearing the red sweater is because he split his pants
yeah,
in his
nice olive
suit.
Yeah.
No, that's really...
That needs to get to Deadspin and TMZ and AVN.com.
That is actually advancing a news story, because that's what we do. We're journalists at heart.
That's disappointing when you buy yourself a new suit and the first thing you do is squat a little bit and rip out the seat of the drawers.
And then you're like, what to wear?
Yeah.
And then that red sweater is beckoning.
874 Twitter followers.
Should I tweet it? Should I tweet it to Trump, too?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, might as well.
He might have some other things that he's working on.
Bonesy?
Game recognized game. There we go.
Of all the things we saw and heard last night at the debate, that's our takeaway.
Ken Bone,
Ken Bone has just
joined the TMA fan page.
Has he?
Ken Bone is about to appear on CNN and Jimmy Kimmel, but before he does that, he made sure to stop by the TMA fan page.
Have we tried to contact any of the other questioners?
Well, the guy at the end asked a great question.
Yeah, he
did.
The
question we talked about in the 7 o'clock hour about give a trait of your opponent that you like. I was wondering how they're going to handle that.
Yeah, they both handled
it. I thought they both handled
it
very well.
Yeah, yeah.
They really did. I think those are two also honest answers.
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, you can't miss by complimenting one guy's family, and you can't miss by complimenting her, you know, never wanting to get up, give up. And
it did really
hard.
It really did break the tension, because they did not shake hands in the beginning, and then they begrudgingly shook hands at the end. Like, if you have two presidential candidates that can't even shake hands.
What did they say? They walked up and they just said, hi. Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Hi.
What did you think of Donald's? You know, he was pacing around. And I watched the election coverage on a number of different channels because I like to get a bunch of different perspectives. And it seemed a lot of people were criticizing him as being creepy, the way he was kind of stomping around while she was answering or sneering. I just thought he was just kind of full of energy and was, you know, kind of pacing a little bit while she was having her time to answer.
Some of the sniffing is a little odd. That sounds like Darth Vader at times.
Ken Bone has reached 1,000 Twitter followers.
Ken Bone is now over 1,000.
So and he was at 7?
93, yeah.
And as many mentions as this guy got on Twitter and social media last night, it was up to us to find out what his Twitter handle was.
That three-headed monster of the Plow Iggy monster. Mm-hmm. You go from Ken Bone to Ken Hitchcock, the head coach of the Blues. And then Brian Curtis of the Ringer is going to be with us at 9 o'clock. You're welcome to get involved in the program, 855-CUB-TALK, 855-CUB-TALK, here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. That's how you can text in. It's also how you can call in. Doug, we're at Ryan Kelly's World Headquarters. Mm-hmm. You know a thing about him? You're sitting at his conference room table.
Right. I've sat here many times before, too, because we've done the show here on many occasions. And it's a fabulous place to perform this presentation. It's also a fabulous place to get your mortgage refinanced. If you've got a rate that's in the fours, there's a lot of people still have a mortgage rate in the four. You need to refinance because Ryan Kelly and his folks can save you hundreds of dollars a month, tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. They really can because rates are so low. They've got rates now, 15-year mortgage rates in the twos. So you really need to take advantage of it. That's what I'm doing even as we speak. So you have to ask yourself this question. Why would you want to go anywhere else when Ryan Kelly is the number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest? Why you want to go anywhere
Stop
else?
Stop yelling.
Man?
It's not a debate.
But I'm telling you, he was number three in the country last year for FHA volume, number nine in the nation for most loans closed last year. Can you get over that? Can you believe that? Number nine in the entire country for most loans closed with all the people closing loans. Ryan Kelly, top 10. Let me give you their phone number. This is who you should call. Get your refinance process started and save yourself some cash. Here's the number. 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. And his website, where you can get all kinds of information and you can even start the application process. His website is thehomeloanexpert.com. Ryan Kelly, Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Ryan Kelly, the title sponsor of this award-winning presentation, and we are grateful for his support. He makes it possible, and we're happy to be here at his world headquarters for this broadcast. Well, we've already made history today, Doug, with Ken Bone joining us and discovering the guy couldn't be any more damn likable if you tried.
Mm-hmm. And
plus,
normal.
We have a new political insider and intelligent.
Yeah.
Also, maybe he should host this thing, and maybe we should kind of step aside.
He's above this. He's deep into the political scene. This and is that, why he was chosen to ask a question.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't going to put somebody up there they thought was going to melt or
free dotum
stammer, you know, around.
As he's speaking, and you're getting the sense that, boy, this guy is smart. This guy is very comfortable in his own skin. This guy has it going on. I'm thinking, he can't listen to our show. But he does.
The Barnhart Brawler says, "Sup, Brother Bone, I see you."
What's that supposed to mean? What's that supposed to mean? I see you?
That's what the cool say when they want to like recognize someone else's achievement. They say, "I see you."
Oh.
Well, not us, because
well,
we're
geezers.
That
is cool. That is cool. All right. Sup, Brother Bone? I see you.
Nice. See? How All much right. cooler do you feel?
Yeah, well, quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Boy, I'm glad we had that guy on. Good job, Iggy.
And tip of the cap. The three-headed monster.
Yeah, three-headed
That's what
monster.
It comes down to.
Because, right, he makes you feel better about our political process somehow. Don't you think?
Well, that may be overstating it just a little bit. I don't know that I feel better about the whole process now.
I do, because this guy seems upbeat about things, and he seems smarter than us. So if he's upbeat, maybe I'll be upbeat instead of thinking, all right, country's about done right now.
You still have these candidates to deal with.
One of these two gets in there.
We still got them to deal with.
Pennsylvania.
My Twitter feed has never been more active than it is right now. The line of my red sweater was plan B. I actually had an olive suit, but I split the rear of my pants getting into the car. Is going absolutely bad.
Because that's real news.
Yeah.
I mean, if this guy is the flavor of the day.
That's news in America in 2016. That passes as news. I split my trousers.
This guy that's was one of the
are.
Breakout stars from the debate.
Doug, he is now at 1,341 Twitter followers. Hmm.
Started at 7. So he's getting almost 100 Twitter followers a minute.
Yeah, that's a nice little math formula.
You think there's anyone else in the country right now getting them at that pace?
probably Lana Rhodes, but outside of that, yeah, I think that's probably it.
Ron Swoboda.
Ron Swoboda's not getting him like that. It was a good catch in 69. He came in and dove. He took a hit away from somebody. But I don't suppose his Twitter feed's blowing up.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching Jimmy Kimmel tonight to see Kenny Bone, our political insider. I hope they super him as our political insider.
Yeah. Is it possible that he could join the Inside STL news team?
Wow. With Hannah Ray and Michael T. Gaines?
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. He's the best of us, the cat. That's what that Ken Bone is. He's the best of us.
He restores my faith in the political process.
He said his faith was restored in the fact that he thought he was going to show up and be handed a question. And he got to ask the question that he really wanted to ask.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's great that he got to ask the question and he did such a good job. I don't know that all of my faith has been restored in the process. Look what the process got
us. Well, then maybe you should grow up.
Nice.
So you like what the process brought us?
Brought us Kenneth Bone.
Kenneth T. Bone.
And no, you know what? No. I'm okay with that.
It brought us Hillary and Trump. That's what it brought us.
But the next generation is the Kenneth Bones of this country.
You think?
Yep. Fair-minded people who aren't part of team ideology, just marching along with the rest of the crowd. He's thinking for himself. He'll vote for this party. He'll vote for that party. Yes, the party.
I think he represents much of America. He does. And yet, even though much of America is level-headed, and down the middle, the process still brought us Hillary and Trump.
Somewhere out there, Doug, is a charismatic moderate that will save this nation.
And you think that name might be Bone, Ken Bone.
Could be, Doug.
Doug, have you thought about the fact that if Ken Bone were to marry Ivana Trump, her name would be Ivana Bone?
Pretty good text of the day.
That sounds like the text of the
Stephen
day.
Stephen Wildwood is shipped the text of the day. That's two passes to Masterminds at Werenberg Theater.
Now, she's happily married. She has
So is he.
And he's happily married.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, do you think Ken Bone will have more Twitter followers than Jill Cassidy today?
I don't know how many Jill Cassidy has.
When she was on with us, she was at 2,000. She's up over 15,000. I mean, we're kingmakers here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look what we did for Joshua.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared, didn't he?
What?
We haven't seen hide nor hair of him.
Yeah, but the thing is, you couldn't sustain that kind of red-hot stardom. Kenneth Bone is different because he's easing into it. Joshua was a shooting star. There was no way to
supporting Josh. Out of town supporting Josh. Yeah, I might as well support, too.
Supporting Josh.
Might as well support, too.
It's a big Ken 8 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin, Vaughn. With you on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS, and we continue our big 8 o'clock hour because the head coach of the St. Louis Blues is with us now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Hitchcock with us here on 590 The Fan KFNS. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much. This is an exciting time for Blues fans because the season is on the verge of getting underway, but some fans are understandably a little concerned after seeing Jake Allen exit the game on Saturday. What is the latest on Jake Allen?
He just arrived this morning, so we'll know a little bit later. We're hoping that it's not serious at all, but we won't know until the training staff looks at him right now. So, we're crossing our fingers. Obviously, him going out for the start of the next period is a good sign. So hopefully it's not serious and it's moment to moment or day to day. We won't know here for a couple of hours yet. So
it looked almost like he got an elbow to the back of the leg. Is that what it was? You don't see a lot of injuries that way. It must have hit him just right.
Yeah, it was kind of from the fall on him. So, that's a dangerous area, that crease area. So we're hopeful that it's, nothing or next to nothing. And, we pulled him out precautionary-wise. So if it was a playoff game, he could have played in the game. So, we're erring on the side of caution. But you never know with those injuries, ankles and knees, and it's all about the next day or two. So now we're in the next day or two. We got to see what it looks like, guys.
Ken, you brought in some new players, obviously some guys that were key to your playoff run last year, have moved on to other locales. How much different will the style of play that you guys are aiming for be different than from what it was last year?
Well, I think with the addition of Yakupov, it's going to change quite a bit offensively. I think if it changes defensively, that's never a good thing. We don't want anything to change defensively, but I think offensively it's going to change. We were a grind team last year. We had size and weight, and we got on the grind, and we wore teams down. I think we're going to have to be more dynamic off the rush with Perron and with Yakupov and the emergence of playing younger guys like Fabry and Schwartz more, Tarasenko more. They're all rush attack players, and that's where we have to be more dynamic. If we're going to create more scoring chances or equal amount to last year, it's going to have to come off the rush because we're not going to be physically as imposing as we were, but we could be very, very dangerous if we can get some continuity with these young guys here, because we have a high skill level up front now, and whether we can generate offense from that, we're going to have to really work hard on it in the next couple weeks to see if we can get it to another level.
I think the consensus on that Yakupov trade was, wow, I can't believe they got him and didn't have to give up someone on their active roster. How did that trade come about?
Well, necessity for both teams. Edmonton flipped right into Chris Russell right away. Obviously, they felt they needed an upgrade on defense because Russell's going to come in and play in the top four. And then we, without Sobotka, we had a need for top nine forward. So both teams, it worked out for both teams. Cap space was open up for Edmonton so they could put Russell in, and we found a replacement player for Sobotka. So it worked well for both sides. And, you know, they needed to get out from 100% of the money, and they did it. And then we needed to find somebody that could play winger center in the top nine, and we've got the guy we think we can work on here in the next month or two and bring him up to speed with the way we do things.
What did you see from the way he was used that makes you think you can put him into your system and maybe hopefully get more out of him?
Well, I'm not sure we need more out of him from play and work and all that stuff standpoint. I think where we need to find room for him is just 5-on-5 play. I think the power play stuff, and I think when you go to a second team, you get a second opinion, all the perception of where you were drafted, how high you were drafted, it goes out the door. Now you're just a player. So, and that's exactly what we need. We just need a player. We need it to make sure that he's just, connected to the group 5-on-5. And if he does that, then special team stuff will roll from there. But, next 2 days, guys are going to tell us where he's at. It's interesting because the system that Edmonton plays now with Todd there is almost identical to the one we play. So there shouldn't be a lot of adjustments here. There's a similar terminology, wording used, everything. So I think this is going to be familiar ground for Nail, and he should be up to speed pretty quickly here.
You're in a unique situation in that you're the head coach, but there's a head coach in waiting. How do you see that working out, and how has it worked out to this point?
Well, so far it's worked great. I don't see any difference. I don't anticipate anything any different. To me, it's everything full speed ahead this year, and then I'll see how I feel sometime in June or whatever. What I want to do with my life in hockey, but to me, it's full speed ahead for both of us, then the whole coaching staff, and I'll take a personal evaluation sometime in June or early July and see what I want to do. So to me, there's no change. It feels the same. It is the same. You know, it's the same stuff that you've done for years. And just at the end of June, there's going to be, an evaluation time for me on what I want to do.
I get the sense from talking to you that you're a guy who is far from closing the door on coaching again in your future.
You know what, Pat? I'm not sure about that. I just feel like I want to be able to make a decision without having, you know, without having to say, you know, I got to do this or I got to do that. It's something I want. I'm at that stage where whether I want to do it or not, you know, I want to have the freedom to do that. So it's going to come in, it's going to come in an appropriate time at the end of the year. And then I'll sit down with myself and decide whether what I want to do. I don't ever want to leave the game, but I want to have the freedom to choose whatever direction I want to go. And maybe it's just being a fan, and maybe it's watching it on TV, and maybe it's heavily involved, maybe it's coaching, maybe it's whatever, but I just want to have the freedom to be able to do it at the end of June.
You could maybe get in talk radio and just sit and criticize everybody. We've kind of made a career out of that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I've done leadership stuff and I've done presentations and I really bore myself. After 2 days of talking, I get really bored of myself and I run out of things to talk about. And I kind of, on talk radio, to be honest with you, I think I'd be really good for the first week and then basically useless for the rest of my career. So yeah. I think
that
I
hits pretty close to home.
We've been doing this show for 12 years, and to be honest, we ran out of things to say the first week. So basically, it's been a regurgitation.
I might be okay at that.
Doesn't take much. What were your impressions of the preseason? Anybody give you a pleasant surprise?
Hutton, for sure. And goal was really impressive. Robert Bortuzzo had a heck of a camp on the back end. I really liked what Berglund brought in the middle of the ice. You know, he's skating well. He's really got legs going right now. You know, those are the guys for me that really stood out. Nobody really jumped up and grabbed a spot, you know, that was new to the team. Other than Bortuzzo probably moved himself up the ladder. Hutton looks like a guy we have a lot of faith and can trust. And I was very impressed with couple of younger defensemen, Schmaltz and Lindbaum, really have improved a lot. And they look like they can either challenge for spots in the not-too-distant future or give us great depth on the back end. But, you know, it's status quo up front. There was really nobody that came in from Chicago you know, that graduated from junior or college that was ready to knock off anybody that was here.
Cat Hitchcock, Blues head coach, dropping by the radio program. Blues opening up the season this week, home opener on Thursday, and looking to continue what was the momentum of the 2015-16 season here in 16-17. Coach, we always appreciate it. Best of luck this year.
All right, thanks a lot, gang. Bye-bye.
See you.
There is Ken Hitchcock with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Says Jake Allen will be evaluated. He won't know for sure until the training staff has a chance to work with him in a couple of hours. Doesn't sound that concerned. Hopefully that it's a day-to-day thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw it on the highlights. It didn't look like much happened. He was kind of lying down after smothering the puck, and Gunnarsson fell back on him, and it looked like Gunnarsson's elbow hit Allen like in the back of the Achilles tendon area, or maybe the lower leg?
Lower body.
Well, it was more specifically, you could see that it was...
Yeah, lower body.
Okay. But it didn't look like the kind of thing where you go, uh-oh, boy, that looks serious. But, you know, that's how you always feel sometimes.
And everyone,
He
raved about Hutton, and everyone that's seen him says this guy is a legitimate backup, so maybe they will have a two-headed monster of some sort in goal, which you got to have two goalies in this league, Doug.
Well, yeah.
The National Hockey League.
Just by saying this league and national doesn't mean that you guys are hockey
an insider.
It just doesn't.
That's what I told Kenneth Bone. Just pretend you're an insider in this league.
So you say that like you've been around pucks for, you know, most of your life, and especially this league, this National Hockey League.
I've covered a couple of teams in this league, so I was cutting my teeth back when you were Dayton cheerleaders.
Huh. Now, who talks like that?
Mo Green, sir. Mo Green. Mo T. Green.
Give yourself a self-ring on that. Thank you for picking up on that.
Right. Doug, Twitter mentions are out of control here because of the Ken Bone live tweeting, and now people are wondering who will play the role of Ken Bone on Saturday Night Live this Saturday. Mm. Who would be that? Bobby Moynihan, I would gather, the choice. I think Saturday Night Live has been outstanding the last 2 weeks. I mean, they clearly have a lot to work with because of the election. But outside of that, I think it's been pretty damn
good. I always forget to, you know, Saturday nights I'm out at the club.
Right.
So, oh, and yeah. I always forget to DVR it.
Yeah. I was dancing all last Saturday night to the, you know, the wee hour.
I saw you.
Yeah.
Oh, MDMA got you feeling like a champion?
Well, not so much that. It was like the wedding.
You're not one to brag, but when Vaughn shows up at the club, especially one with a real good dance vibe, they clear the floor for him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but you're not going to sing your own praise.
I bring a pretty good vibe with me.
Cam Bone, over 2,000 Twitter followers.
Plowhawk.
2,000? In like 20 minutes?
Yeah, 30-ish.
Hmm. I don't know what he can do with that.
What do you mean, what can he do with that?
Well, it's nice to have it, but what does it
well,
mean?
You're on
really?
Twitter.
I know.
What do you do with it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. At least I got a couple commercials out of it.
Out of your Twitter?
Yeah.
People saw you tweet and they said, I want you to do my spots?
No, a company did.
Really?
Not because of what I tweeted, but because of this show. And they said, oh, we see you've got some Twitter followers. And that worked out. Maybe it'll work out for Ken Bone.
You're a sellout.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what we're all in this for, isn't it? To earn a living?
Can't really answer that.
Based You're not here to earn a living, but just to spread journalism?
I can't really comment on that based on my agreement with my own company, Jim Hayes Enterprises.
Okay.
Guys, Ken Bone should play himself on this Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that would be the move.
That's
right?
the move, especially considering he clearly has a congenial disposition, Doug. You like that?
It's okay. Well, they got all week to get him up there, so yeah, I could see that happening.
I would think if you're Jimmy Kimmel, too, you would like to bring this guy to the show instead of doing one of those remote interviews.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be tough to get him. He tapes it like at probably 4 St. Louis time.
Yeah.
So 2 out there.
Get him on a plane. Well, it's probably a direct flight through Phoenix to get there.
I didn't really think it was
to get to LAX. Yeah.
I didn't really think it was all that, you know, amazing or astounding when he stood up and asked a question for 15 seconds, and now the whole country's going crazy over him.
But that's
it's
the
because
thing.
Of
he
the red
caught.
Sweater.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
And his name, too, is a little different.
Kenny Bone.
Just that's what people picked up on.
Yes. And you know what?
As important as this debate was, as wild and crazy as it was, the takeaway is, hey, there was a guy with a red sweater who asked a question. Okay.
Just because he had a good way about him, He was hardly looking to advance himself. I just think last night was so dire. The whole debate was so dire that people were looking for something light to take away from it, and they took away Ken Bone.
And now they hear him, or at least see his words on the Twitter tweets, and they go, God, this guy is better than we ever thought he could be.
Mm-hmm. Bonesy.
He couldn't be more self-aware and self-deprecating and seemingly genuine.
And great taste in radio.
Yep, and great taste in radio.
Hmm.
He put this on Facebook. Fantastic physical game by the Blues. This is from May 4th. They pressured the Stars into playing a very undisciplined game. It seemed the Blues were on the power play all night. They've gotten under the skin of Dallas. Keep it up, boys.
He's hockey wise.
Yeah, it is time for us to step aside.
Man,
he could have done better. One more question from Ken Bone.
Honestly, I heard that and I go, this is free dodo.
This is the guy. We wanted a plant inside of Washington University. Now, we have numerous students at Washington University who are loyal listeners because we're so popular in New York.
Oh.
But when Ken Bone stood up, I go, okay, here's free dodo moment.
Here it comes.
Here it is.
I honestly did.
Oh, you didn't.
I did.
They wouldn't have let him get away with that.
Look, were you watching the Ryder Cup at all? There was something that happened. I don't know, Plowsy, if you have that handy.
I don't know that you could hear it. Even when Mickelson was putting, I just don't think that I heard. I didn't hear anything.
Come on, Plowsy. Let me hear it, buddy. Come on, Plowsy.
I know they say it in a lot of places, but I don't think they would have dare scream that at the Ryder Cup. Not while Mickelson was putting.
Mickelson tried to light up the crowd again. Birdie to win the hole.
See, I don't know.
The pitch was perfect. It was perfect. It was distinct yet blending in to the tone of the crowd.
Mm-hmm. You got to be first when you scream something, too, or they won't hear you at all. It used to always be, get in the hole! Remember
get
that?
The
drove
hole.
The golfers nuts. They hated that.
Ryder Cup. Where's next? Augusta? You think we'll be at Augusta?
I thought it was a debate, Tim. No, I thought Ken Bone.
A few members of Augusta are texters.
Like who?
Fred from the poor part of the nail.
Hootie Johnson.
Guys, don't let Ken Bone fool you. He knew he was going viral tonight. You don't go white tie and disposable camera unless you know it's your time.
No, but that was another news
he had
element.
To have a disposable
that
camera.
That was another new. People were making fun of that, but that's what they gave him because it took away their electronic devices.
People want to make fun of everything. The guy took a picture with an outdated camera. Oh, my God.
But that's what they gave him.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's so crazy that we're always so quick to try to make fun of people.
But if you looked at how he took the shot, it didn't even look like he looked through like the lens to make sure it was set up. It looked like he was just kind of spit-firing and just had it like on his waist as like his hip pocket. I don't know. I thought that was funny.
I think maybe we're overanalyzing the picture.
We're just trying to figure out why this guy caught. This guy caught something, and I think it was his way, his sweater, and a night that was dreary and drab and disappointing on so many levels. This guy was a bright light.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Curtis of The Ringer is going to join us on the other side of our commercial break. Send your emails in, your thoughts on Ken Bone, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan, Vaughn with you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, today on the road at Ryan Kelly's World Headquarters.